Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to cut through all the noise and get you straight to the insights that really matter. Today, we're diving into something, well, pretty fundamental for any organization's success. It's about those invisible forces, the ones quietly shaping things, or maybe more accurately, silently hindering performance. These aren't always the obvious problems, you know, but the research we've looked at shows they're costing companies millions. So this deep dive, it's for you. To help you spot these hidden barriers and hopefully turn them into opportunities.
That's exactly right. And the sources we've got for this deep dive, they really zero in on three critical hidden barriers. And when companies address these, like strategically, it can totally transform teams. We're talking significant boosts in performance, innovation, even keeping your best people. And let's be really clear here, this isn't just soft HR stuff. The data makes it, well, undeniable. These are core strategic issues. They hit the bottom line hard. In fact, the executive summary from one of our main sources, it lays out some truly staggering potential costs per 1,000 employees, mind you. Things like $7 million a year just from low productivity, a huge $31 million a year in missed innovation opportunity.
Wow, $31 million just from missed innovation.
For every 1,000 people.
Yeah, and another $8 million a year in turnover you could probably prevent. That innovation figure alone is. Yeah, it's eye-opening. It just shows how quietly these things can drain a company,
yeah. Right?
Often without anyone really connecting the dots back to these hidden problems. Okay, so let's get right into them. What are these barriers? The sources talk about three key shifts: moving from silence to trust, from blind spots to clarity, and from hidden struggles to support. All right, let's unpack that first one. Silence. What does that really mean here? It's not just about, you know, quiet offices. It's this lack of psychological safety, isn't
yeah.
it? Where people just don't feel safe speaking up, sharing ideas, raising concerns without worrying about, like, blowback. And the really startling thing is that perception gap. The insights suggest something like, what, 70% of leaders think they create open, trusting teams?
Yeah, 70%, believe it.
But then only 30% of their employees actually feel safe enough to speak up. That's a massive disconnect.
It's a huge gap, and that gap is absolutely critical because psychological safety, it isn't some, you know, abstract concept. It's not SOP. It's a proven hard driver of business performance. When you have it, the benefits are really clear. Gallup found teams with high psychological safety perform 12% better results. Yeah. And BCG research, it shows they're 3.3 times more likely to reach their full potential.
That makes intuitive sense, doesn't it?
Totally. When people feel safe, they speak up faster, right? So problems get solved quicker. They think bigger, so you get more innovation. And crucially, you keep your best people. We're talking less than 3% planning to leave in high safety cultures versus maybe 12% in low safety ones. It's foundational.
Okay, that's compelling. But given that it can be uncomfortable, maybe, for leaders to hear tough truths, what's the biggest hurdle? How do you actually implement this? Especially if a culture has been, well, silent for a long time.
That's a great question. It's definitely not just about wanting it to happen. It needs a real strategic shift. The playbook outlined for CEOs, it's not just a checklist. First, it demands like radical honesty. You have to measure what's really going on beyond just those surface level surveys. You can't fix what you can't truly see. Then maybe the biggest challenge is equipping leaders to actively invite the tough conversations, not just tolerate them. That takes self-awareness.
Right. It's a skill.
Exactly. And finally, you have to build safety into the systems themselves, the processes, the way things are done day to day. The Nokia example really drives home why that system part is so vital.
Yes. Tell us about Nokia. Sounds like a cautionary tale.
Oh, it absolutely is. Think about it. Nokia was dominant, right? 40% market share. But inside, there was this culture where leadership just didn't want to hear bad news. The source says presenting bad news meant you weren't a team player. Yeah. So people knew things were going wrong, but nobody felt safe saying it. And their market share plummeted to just 3%. Now, contrast that with somewhere like Eileen Fisher. There, the expectation is different. Speaking up isn't risky. It's expected. That's the culture.
So people feel curious, not criticized.
Exactly. And that consistently leads to better work. It just shows the real tangible results of making safety a priority.
You know, that silence we were just talking about, the one that kills trust, it seems like it has this ripple effect. It's not just individuals holding back. Entire organizations can develop these, what is the research called them, collective blind spots, where really important insights just get missed by everyone. And that leads us straight into the second barrier, moving from those individual silences to tackling these bigger organizational blind spots, making sure every voice is heard and every strength is seen.
Indeed. And the payoff for getting this right, for fostering inclusive leadership, which is how you tackle blind spots, well, the benefits are huge. Forbes cited that companies with diverse teams are 36% more likely to outperform their peers on profitability.
36%.
Yeah. And CloverPop found inclusive teams make better decisions 87% of the time. That's massive. Plus, for innovation, teams that actively reduce their blind spots see innovation increase by about 34%. So this isn't just about being fair, though it is. It's a serious competitive advantage.
Okay, so if the benefits are that clear, why do leaders, why do organizations miss this so often? What are these micro moments compounding the sources mention?
Well, it often boils down to exactly that, those seemingly small everyday things. The source calls them micro moments compounding. Like,
yeah.
Whose ideas always get interrupted in meetings? Who never gets credit for their work? Who keeps getting left off important emails or invites?
Ah, okay. Little things that add up.
Exactly. Individually, they might seem minor, but over time, they build up these systemic blind spots. Plus, sometimes the systems themselves hide the gaps. Like, maybe your hiring process accidentally screens out brilliant people who don't fit a narrow mold. And sometimes, honestly, leaders are just too far removed. They're at a distance from reality, not really seeing the day-to-day experiences of their teams.
So how do the companies that get this, the ones who are good at it, how do they break down those blind spots? What's the strategy?
The playbook for CEOs here involves a few key things. First, really reviewing how decisions get made, looking for those hidden biases. Second, actively training managers. Not just awareness, but training them to recognize who's being heard and who isn't, and then rebalancing that in real time.
Making sure everyone gets a say.
Precisely. And maybe most importantly, embedding inclusive thinking right into the core business processes, making it systemic, not just, you know, a special initiative.
We've got some really strong examples here from the source material too, like IDEO, the design firm. They deliberately hire people from all sorts of backgrounds. Poets, architects, to psychologists.
Yeah, they know that diversity of thought is their superpower.
Right. One engineer there apparently said something like, I never would have seen it that way without a teammate who thought so differently.
Mm-hmm.
And then on the other side, that Wells Fargo scandal, a really stark example of ignored blind spots, wasn't it?
Absolutely. Employees were under immense pressure to hit impossible targets, and the material highlights how silence became survival. People felt forced to choose keeping their job over doing the right thing. A huge organizational blind spot was just completely missed, with devastating results.
Oh.
But there are proactive solutions, too. Think about blind hiring, taking names, and identifying details off resumes initially. One company did this and found they hired amazing talent they'd previously overlooked. And these new hires generated breakthrough ideas within months. They literally couldn't see the talent before.
Because of their own blind spot in the process.
Exactly. And another great one is reverse mentoring. They had Gen Zers and older employees mentor each other after some bias training. You know, the partner teaches leadership, the Gen Zer teaches tech trends or social media, and the outcome. Both felt seen and respected for what they brought to the table, and retention went up. Simple, but powerful.
Okay, moving on to the third barrier. And this one feels perhaps the most human, but maybe also the most overlooked. The idea that life doesn't pause at the office door.
Mm-hmm.
The insights here are really clear. Things like menopause, mental health challenges, being a caregiver, neurodiversity, fertility issues, even fatherhood. These aren't just personal issues off to the side. They're actually performance moments. They deeply affect how someone can show up and contribute.
And supporting people through these challenges, it pays off, literally. Deloitte found 60% of employees would stay longer with a company that genuinely supports their mental health.
60%, that's a majority.
It is, and for working caregivers. The Caris Trust reported a huge 80% consider quitting simply because they lack support. When companies step up with the right support, employees stay engaged, they can keep contributing even during tough times, instead of checking out or leaving. And that builds loyalty. It changes the whole dynamic from seeing these challenges as burdens to seeing them as opportunities to build stronger connections.
And the flip side, the cost of ignoring these struggles is just enormous. Burnout alone is costing companies, what, $322 billion a year globally?
Mm-hmm.
And much of that is preventable.
Huge numbers.
Yeah. And then just the basic cost of replacing someone who leaves.
Mm.
It's estimated at 50% to even 200% of their annual salary. So, okay. If the benefits of support are so clear and the costs of ignoring it are so high, why do leaders, why do organizations miss this so often? What makes these struggles stay hidden?
Well, it often comes down to a few things, really. First, people often stay silent. There's still a lot of fear or stigma around talking about these personal issues at work. You know, they worry they'll be seen as weak or less committed or unable to cope.
Right, that makes sense.
Second, the true cost often gets hidden. Someone leaves and the exit interview just says personal reasons.
Mm.
So the organization never really sees the pattern or understands the systemic impact of, say, lack of caregiver support. And finally, sometimes the support programs that do exist, they just don't go deep enough. They're maybe too generic or don't really address the specific needs or root causes.
So what does the CEO playbook suggest here? How can companies build the kind of support that actually helps retain people through these life challenges?
The framework here is, again, about concrete actions. It starts with tracking the real challenges, not just relying on exit interviews after someone's already gone, really understanding the pressures your employees are facing, maybe through confidential surveys or dedicated listening channels. Then, crucially, it's about equipping managers, giving them the training and, honestly, the permission to act early and with empathy when they see someone struggling.
So they feel confident having those conversations.
Exactly. Giving them the tools, the resources, knowing where to point people for help. And fundamentally, it's about building truly inclusive support into the way the business runs, making it part of the culture, not just an add-on program.
And we have some really moving examples in the source material for this one, like for pregnancy loss support. One company had this monthly taboo topics challenge, just creating a safe space to talk about difficult things.
Mm.
And it allowed an employee to actually open up about her loss. The support she got from her manager and team afterwards, it made all the difference for her being able to come back to work.
That's powerful. Human connection.
Totally. And another one for ADHD support. A neurodiversity training module helped a manager understand an employee's needs better. They adjusted the schedule, tweaked some tasks, and the result was unprecedented productivity from that employee. Just needed the right environment.
Simple adjustments, big impact.
Right. And even learning about andropause, male menopause in a training helped one employee understand changes he was going through. Feeling understood and supported actually gave him the confidence to go for and get a promotion he might otherwise have shied away from.
And building on that, J.P. Morgan's Autism at Work initiative is a fantastic example. They saw productivity gains of 90 to 140% simply by offering tailored support and focusing on the strengths of their neurodivergent employees.
Incredible.
It really is. And look at paternity leave. One of the big four accounting firms tackled the stigma around dads taking leave. They used internal campaigns, had senior leaders visibly role model taking their full leave, and it made a huge difference in uptake and normalizing it. These aren't just feel-good stories. They are examples of empathetic support directly boosting business outcomes.
Okay, so we've identified these three big barriers: silence, blind spots, hidden struggles.
Uh-huh.
And we've seen the antidotes: trust, clarity, support. So what does it actually take to move from just knowing about these things to building teams that really thrive, innovate, and importantly, stay? What's the overall roadmap?
Yeah, it really comes down to three core killers consistently applied: measurement, education, and support. And measurement is first for a reason. You really can't fix what you can't see or won't see. So it's about going beyond basic sentiment surveys. It's about actively measuring trust levels, inclusion metrics, those hidden flight risks tied to life challenges. This uncovers patterns that, honestly, most traditional methods miss. You start to see who is staying silent or which life events are pushing good people out the door. PwC, for instance, they built this dashboard. It gave leaders real-time visibility into these specific risk areas.
So they could actually act on it.
Exactly. It enabled targeted action and really accelerated accountability.
Okay, measurement first, then education. And this isn't just like a one-off workshop, is it?
No, definitely not. Education here means equipping everyone, leaders, teams, individual employees with practical skills and tools. Tools to lead with more empathy, skills to recognize and actively reduce their own blind spots, and the ability to speak up safely and constructively when something needs to be said.
Building capability, not just ticking a box.
Precisely. It's about changing behaviors.
And the third pillar, support.
Yes, support. And this needs to be targeted. Support for those critical life stages and challenges we talked about: fertility, mental health, menopause, caregiving, fatherhood, neurodivergence. This kind of tailored support isn't optional anymore if you want high performance. It demonstrably reduces burnout. It improves retention, boosts productivity, and honestly, it strengthens your brand reputation too. It really just boils down to this simple truth, doesn't it? People rarely leave jobs just for the sake of it. They leave environments. Environments that don't support them, where they don't feel safe or seen or valued for who they are.
And when you put all three works, measurement, education, support together, that's where the magic happens.
That's the goal, yeah.
Real, sustainable performance comes when employees feel fundamentally safe, seen, and supported. Not just as workers, but as whole people, bringing all their unique needs and talents.
Okay, so just to quickly recap for everyone listening, we've dug into three critical hidden barriers that could be costing organizations millions. The silence that kills trust, the blind spots that block clarity and innovation, and the hidden struggles that prevent people from feeling fully supported. And we've also explored their powerful antidotes, creating real psychological safety, fostering truly inclusive thinking, and offering genuine empathetic support. The potential impact, those multi-million euro figures we mentioned, it's undeniable, and the examples show it's achievable.
Which really brings us to a final thought, maybe a question for you, the listener. Now that you've heard about these hidden barriers and you understand their impact, how might you start to actively foster an environment right where you are in your own sphere of influence where every single person feels truly safe, genuinely seen, and fully supported, not just as an employee, but as a whole person? What's one small step you could take?